Lisa, if we get started, are you okay to start on your own? Okay. Okay. Good evening, everyone. Tongatsugi, Bekaluit Planning and Development Committee of the Whole, number 3. Thank you to our interpreter, Lisa, for being here this evening. The first item we have is the adoption of the agenda. Councillor Shepherd moves, Mayor Awa seconds. Any comments or questions on the agenda this evening? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous, thank you. We'll move on to declarations of interest. Does anyone have any interest to declare this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll move right along into new business. 5A, we have an information item on the boat storage survey, which will be verbal from Maya Torden. Let's go ahead, Maya, when you're ready.
In Iqaluit, boats are not just recreational. They are essential. They are used for harvesting, fishing, transportation, and supporting livelihood on both the land and water. With a short open water season, boat owners rely heavily on safe and reliable storage during the on and off season to protect their equipment from damage, theft, and harsh weather conditions. As Iqaluit continues to grow, the need for secure, accessible, and organized boat storage has become increasingly important. To assess community interest in a dedicated boat storage facility, the Planning and Development Department conducted an online survey. We received 41 responses, all from Iqaluit residents. The results indicate strong support for the initiative. 93% of respondents support the use of public funds to develop a boat storage facility, demonstrating clear community backing. With respect to boat ownership, 72% of respondents currently own a boat, and an additional 7% intend to purchase one in the future. This reflects both current demand and anticipated growth in the need for storage capacity. Currently, 68% of respondents store their boats at home, typically in residential yards or driveways. 18% use the causeway area, while a small percentage rely on commercial spaces or shared arrangements. Many of these options are informal and constrained by limited space. When asked about the preferred location, 71% of the respondents identified the causeway area as their preferred site. Proximity to the water was rated as very important by 54% of the respondents. Other locations, including the West 40 area, beach areas, and the road to landfill, receive much lower percentages. In terms of facility type, 52% express a preference for a fenced and gated site. 21% supported designated stalls with signage, and another 21% favored an open gravel lot. Security and accessibility were identified as key priorities. 68% rated security fencing as very important, 58% rating lighting as very important, nearly 68% rated on-site surveillance such as cameras as very important, and 86% rated 24/7 access as very important, highlighting the need for flexibility due to tides, weather condition, and varying work schedules. Willingness to pay was also assessed. 89% of respondents indicated they would be willing to pay an annual storage fee. The most commonly supported amount was $500 per year. Proposed amounts range from $100 to $1,800 annually, with a small number indicating the preference for no fee. The primary concern identified by respondents were lack of space at 46%, security and vandalism at 42%, and winter storage challenges at 12%. Overall, the survey demonstrates strong public support for a publicly funded facility, ideally located at the causeway and designed with fencing, lighting, surveillance, and 24/7 access. Such a facility would directly address space limitations, improve security, and help mitigate winter storage challenges while supporting harvesting areas, harvesting activities, recreation, and the protection of valuable equipment in our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maya. Anyone have any comments or questions for Maya at this time? Councillor Nutduck, please go ahead.
I don't think it's really an actual question. And I just want to say that this is a very vital part of our community. And I'm not sure if it was in the survey with respect to Inuit-owned lands, but I was thinking out loud to myself that the boat owners or vehicles or equipment that they're able to go in, and that it was a thought at some point early on where something like this would be a vital thing for these individuals. And so some time ago there was also an instance where vandalism occurred at an area where equipment was stored. And so after that, there was an agreement between the parties that the things would get repaired. So back in 1982, it was a difficult time for me and for hunters because there was a lack of space for equipment and so on. But now that there's more availability of areas where people can leave their equipment, it's become more easier for people to go on their trips as a result because of availability of lots that are already within the community now that they can use. And so I was thinking that we do know that Inuit and the residents deal with vandalism. And so it's not really a question, but we should be aware of that and that we should think about that when we're planning. And that's just one of my comments. And so I think we'll expect something nice in the future where it's going to be a secure area. And as you know, land itself is very scarce right now. It's not just for boats, but for other things. And so that's just what I wanted to share. And I think we should really think about planning this out so that it will benefit a lot of people, for our fellow people out there in the community. And so, of course, it's something that things happen and then we just move on. But yeah, I would like to see this continuing to develop, and so I think it's a good idea that this happened.
For your comments, Councillor Nutduck. Just my memory is not as good as Councillor Nutduck's. Did we already ask city staff to form a business case on this, and was this part of that, or no, this was just information gathering? Okay. So we have not done that. Mayor Awa, please go ahead.
Oh, my man, wait a minute.
Yes, thank you. And it was mentioned there was a survey online. The other thing I'd like to see is if it's already been thought about is that maybe to do a needs assessment right within the community where you gather feedback directly from people. Is that going to happen?
Thank you, Mayor Awa. I think the online survey was kind of the needs assessment that we've done so far. You can comment on that, Maya.
Yeah, that is the only needs assessment we have as of right now. But if you do want us to develop further, then we can start planning more like engagement activities for this.
Thank you, Maya. Good. Okay. Councillor Stevenson, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I just guess I want to reiterate what I raised when we first talked about this, or when we talked about this in relation to the industrial subdivision that we're working on, and the idea of maybe saving some of that land for this use. And to be clear, that confounding the idea of a boat storage facility with a city-run boat storage facility needs, like, at some point we're going to have to decide, is that really what we want to be doing? Do we, the city, want to be running a boat storage facility? Or are we just talking about facilitating space for a boat storage facility? I'm lean heavily towards that one, that somebody else should run a boat storage facility, not us, that we can create the space. We could even create the infrastructure, being like a fence system, maybe, and then provide a business with the opportunity to run that business out of it, maybe, or something. I mean, that is the next step in terms of business cases, in my opinion. But I just keep wanting to say it because I don't want there to be too much confusion about what road we're going down. Unless the council really does want to run a municipally run boat storage facility, that's not impossible. Those things do exist, but that's a very different thing than providing some land or reserving land out of a subdivision for boat storage. And then, sorry, I didn't even thank you for your presentation. That was good. And I know most of my comments are to the council here, though. I do thank you for asking the question about how much people are willing to pay, because I think that's another issue, is that people definitely want this, but do they really want to pay what it would cost to make one profitable or to make one even feasible? That's definitely a question. And then space. So in the survey, as Maya raised, the preference is for as close to the causeway as possible. But there's no real space at the causeway for the amount of space you would need for a boat storage area where people are accessing their boats themselves. So if you had a business controlling the boats inside a space, you can be much tighter with the packing of it because you can have professionals moving boats around. But if you're going to have people with a fob and a fence and going in and driving their boat out, it needs to be a very big space. So it would need to likely be further away from the causeway than maybe people are picturing at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I think those were more comments. Before I go to Councillor Konuk, I want to say a few things, and I'm going to hand it over to Steve. As far as the area that we're already developing, I do think, just personally, I think that there are still lots of other lands available down kind of the causeway that we should look at, because people are still screaming for this industrial land. And if we can try to preserve that as best we can, I think we should. And if we wanted to, the next step would be to kind of make a motion for the city to pursue a business case that has options like privately run facility versus a city run facility. So I think that's something that we could explore in that business case. But I'll hand it over to Steve now.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Councillors, for your comments so far. And thanks to Maya and the PD team for putting this together. It's nice to get engagement at this level of the conversation, so it helps council provide direction back to the administration. So the whole purpose of the committee was just to gauge interest at a very preliminary level. If the committee wanted to make a recommendation to go to council to give direction to the administration on starting to work on scope and starting to work on business plans and stuff like that, but we're a long ways away from putting any thought into those items yet. So if the committee wanted to discuss that and provide that direction, we've heard all the discussion in the previous meeting and again this evening. I think that will be enough to get us going, and we can report back as we're working on that moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Steve. Councillor Kunuk, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I also want to comment that as residents and as particularly Inuit who participate in cultural activities utilizing boats, and many of us leave our boats at the Causeway area. However, I'm thinking that my thinking is that for security reasons, to keep the area secure, there does definitely need to have some kind of surveillance camera system set up, because often too there's a lot of people just littering over there, and there's also problems with rocks that create a lot of problems for people driving up their boats up and down. But I don't know who's throwing things out there. It's not good for the community, people littering. But I think we could get a better sense or a safer area with that kind of surveillance set up.
Mayor Awa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And really part of what Councillor Kunuk is saying, and I think there could be a question out of that, is perhaps if we need to research a bit more on looking at all the land that's available to do an assessment of all the land, what are our assets, and then either to... And thinking that Transport Canada is, I think, taking up some of that land in the near future. So we have to really do an assessment and also look at the land that's already being utilized now and leased, particularly close to the breakwater area. Who is in charge of the land, as well as the land close to the causeway? Who controls that land? If the city of Iqaluit is going to be in charge of operating such a venture like this, and as was brought up earlier, are we going to be the ones to spearhead the control of the land and operation of the boat storage, or how is it going to work? But we need to look at the current land that's already being used by boat owners and assess that. And is it land owned by the governments, different levels of governments, or the city? And so we need to think about those kinds of things as well. Thank you.
And if we do decide to make a motion tonight to ask council to recommend we proceed with the business case, I think all of those things would be evaluated at that time. Councillor Shepherd, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. You know, with respect to the burden administration already faces, on the number of items that we throw their way. I think it'd be worthwhile to take this to the Governance and Priorities Committee, realizing everything's rolling into there soon anyways, but you know, have a dedicated item on the Governance Priorities Committee to make a recommendation at that point. I think the most important piece of this in my mind is kind of highlighting what the risks of operating a facility like this are, what the responsibility that would be placed on the city, to make sure that we fully understand and can make an informed decision on whether we want to operate something like this or whether it should be taken on by the private sector. That should be the first decision, in my opinion, that needs to be made before we start looking at land, before we start picking a location. If it's determined, my understanding right now, that we would prefer to have the private sector operate this and not take on this risk ourselves, it would be good to engage with potential private sector operators to help determine what land to use. I don't want to burden administration with a full business case and picking land and designing something that we might not be doing anyway. So I think if we could move forward on a path that's going to allow us to assess the risk and make an informed decision on whether or not we operate this, I think that's a good first step. And then we can, you know, decide how to proceed on land selection and items related to that from there.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. May I propose that we make a motion here tonight for admin to do a risk assessment on running the facility ourselves versus someone else running it, and that risk assessment is what comes to GNP? Would that make sense? Save some of the burden and just gets, you know, the conversation started. So, okay. Would anyone like to make that motion? Councillor Shepherd moves. Mayor Awa seconds. Any questions or comments to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Okay. We will move on to item 5B, which is a request for decision for development permit DP25-041 and variance for a daycare. So that will be Samantha presenting. Please go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you, Chair, and good evening, committee. The applicant for DP25-041 is seeking a change of use development permit to establish a home-based daycare at 117A Nipissa. The site is zoned medium-density residential, which permits a home-based business. The proposed daycare meets all other provisions of the zoning bylaw for a home-based business. However, home-based daycares are only permitted in a single detached dwelling. The applicant is therefore seeking a variance to permit a home-based daycare in a semi-detached. The requested variance is considered minor in nature and supportable. There are two things to note about home-based daycares in general. First, the zoning bylaw currently permits up to 5 children in a home-based daycare. However, all existing home-based daycares in Iqaluit have licenses for up to 8 children, as that is the limit established by the territorial government when issuing daycare licenses. The city has therefore not required past applicants to obtain a variance to permit 8 attendees. This discrepancy is intended to be addressed in the new zoning bylaw. Second, it is challenging to calculate how much of a home is used for a home-based daycare. There is a limit on the gross floor area that a home-based business is permitted to take up. We've applied a consistent approach that we've used in past approvals here and determined that the dedicated space meets the 25% of gross floor area of the dwelling unit to a maximum of 40 meters squared, that it meets that limit. The options are to approve or refuse the development permit and associated variance. And staff are recommending that committee recommend to council to approve development permit 25-041 for plan 1571, lot 609, to change the use of 117A Nipissa Street to include a home-based daycare. And approves the request for variance to permit a daycare center in a semi-detached dwelling. Pardon me.
Thank you, Samantha. Anyone have any comments or questions for Samantha at this time? Councillor Shepherd, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I fully support the request here. I would support any actions we could take to formalize these with a change to any zoning or general plan as quickly as possible. I just think it's to put in provisions that match the territorial licensing makes sense. We have a massive shortage of childcare in our community. The amount of time, effort, and cost on applicants and on administration of the city for something simple like this is a little bit extreme for something we should be facilitating a little bit more easily. So I would move to approve or to recommend to council to approve what's recommended here, and also encourage the administration to bring forward any required changes as expeditiously as possible.
Thank you very much, Councillor Shepherd. Mayor Awa seconds. Comments or questions to the motion? Oh, Councillor Stevenson, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Samantha, for bringing this forward. Can you tell me, is this building already operating as a daycare at the moment? So prior to having this zoning change? And then in the presentation, it says that staff reviewed and gave comment to the application, then the submission was revised, and then it was reviewed again. Can you tell me what were the issues that were brought by staff originally that were revised by the applicant?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Please go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I was not the lead planner on this file during the review. I took it on when the planner on the file left the city. So I don't have that answer for you ready. My understanding was that the applicant previously operated a daycare and relocated, so that it was a new opening for a daycare, and that they had not obtained a daycare license yet, so they shouldn't be operating as a daycare. But I may have to confirm.
Thank you, Samantha. Any follow-up at all, Councillor Stevenson? Or Steve, you want to comment? Or Matthew? Okay. Matthew, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and I'm losing my voice, so just bear with me if I go mute. So I did have a chance before I was away for the games last month. I did have a chance to review the file with that planner. And as Sam mentioned, it's, to my understanding, with regards to whether or not the daycare was operating, it was to both of our understanding at the time that this was for a new daycare, that it had relocated from another location and they had not obtained a license, therefore should not have been operating. And that was our understanding when they applied. With regards to the question about what the staff comment was, the proponent was looking to dedicate a larger space within their house, within their home to the daycare, which would not have met the requirement. So the planner advised that the daycare was too large relative to the size of the home, and the applicant reduced the total space dedicated to the daycare facility. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Any further questions or comments? Councillor Stevenson, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Matthew, for that. Can you, if you have some information about the parking requirements for this space, can you just explain how the parking system will work?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. You're surprised that you're asking about parking? Common topic with you. Go ahead, Matthew, or Samantha, or one of you. Samantha?
I can answer. So there are two parking spaces for the unit. Home-based businesses require fairly limited parking, so one space could be used for the daycare. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Does that answer your question, Councillor Stevenson? Okay. So there is a motion on the floor. If there's no further questions, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Four in favor, Councillor Nuttuk, Mayor Awa, Councillor Shepherd, and Councillor Kunuk, and opposed, one, Councillor Stevenson. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Move on to our next item this evening, 5C, request for decision development permit DP25-049, variance for retaining wall. So once again, that is Samantha presenting. Go ahead, Samantha.
Thank you. The applicant for 25-049 is seeking a development permit to permit a retaining wall over 1 meter at 535 Adniakun Gusyariak. Sorry about that. There's an established walking trail that is encroaching on the property in the rear yard. The walking trail is designated in the general plan, but was intended to be located within the adjacent city right-of-way that is next to the property. The applicant is proposing to add gravel fill to the rear yard, install a retaining wall, and level the city right-of-way in order to relocate the encroaching trail. Public Works approval and collaboration on the work within the city right-of-way will be a condition of approval. This is intended to prevent drainage issues and ensure the trail is preserved. Retaining walls over 1 meter are considered accessory structures and must meet the 1 meter setback from rear and side yards. The proposed retaining wall is 3 meters at the highest point, so is therefore an accessory structure and must meet the setback. However, they are proposing a 0.3 meter setback from the property line. A variance is therefore required to reduce the minimum setback from 1 meters to 0.3 meters. The variance is considered to be minor and supportable in nature. The options are to approve or refuse the development permit and associated variance. Staff recommend that committee recommend to council to approve development permit 25-049 at lot 461, plan 876, to permit the addition of gravel fill and the construction of a up to 3 meter tall retaining wall, and approve a variance to permit an accessory structure 0.3 meters from the rear and interior side lot line.
Thank you very much, Samantha. Anyone have any comments or questions? Councillor Shepherd, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just looking at the image, the satellite image with the close-up of the house in question and the chart of the existing trail and the proposed trail, I'm just wondering, does the topography behind that house allow the proposed trail to cross easily without any drainage concerns or, you know, pooling water, deep water? Is there any need to have a culvert or something installed to maintain the new relocated trail, or has any thought been given to the quality of the relocated trail once this work is done?
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Samantha?
Thank you. The Public Works did conduct a site visit when the application was first received. And didn't raise any concerns about the relocation within that corridor. However, a grading and drainage plan with more detail about the relocated trail is required as a condition of development permit issuance, and Public Works review and approval before the work is undertaken will also be required.
Thank you very much, Samantha. Councillor Stevenson, please go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Samantha, for that answer to Councillor Shepherd's question. I think it falls along my similar concern. I mean, I'm in favor of this. I'll make the motion in a moment to accept it, but I think probably what we need to do is wait until the work is done, and then from a city perspective, assess the trail and make sure that it's still usable. And then if it's not, we may have to do some improvements to make sure that it is still usable. Because I think the reason it snakes through their property is because it's so steep in that one spot. I don't know how that will change once they've put the retaining wall in, but I think once we know what we need to do, then we can probably make sure that the trail works. And I would move to accept the recommendations of staff.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson moves and Councillor Shepherd seconds. Yeah, I think any opportunity we have to improve pedestrian infrastructure, so if we look at that afterwards and, you know, we need to put a little bit of infill or whatever to make a walking trail a little bit better, I think that that's, you know, a great initiative for the city. So before we move on, Councillor Shepherd, go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is right across the street, nearby from where the current low barrier shelter is, just up the street from the hospital. You know, just when we're assessing the quality of the new trail there, I think it's important to keep in mind the potential for some high density new housing across the street. There could be, you know, relatively higher density, larger population living directly across the street from this area in the coming months or years. So that could increase traffic on a trail such as this. So when we look at the quality, I just want to keep that in mind as we move forward.
Absolutely. Excellent points. Councillor Stevenson?
Yeah, Councillor Shepherd and I are right on the same page today. I think this trail leads right into what is actually a fairly good walking trail that the city's already developed along the side of that stream river that runs all the way. So this trail could really connect to that trail and then all the way down to the beach where we should have a trail, walking trail. So really it's important that they all connect and that we have a feasible and accessible walking spaces in our city. So it's important.
I cannot agree more. Back to Councillor Shepherd. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think some of us in this room might be all jazzed up from a week in Whitehorse after seeing their trail system with their multi-use skiing, snowmobile, walking trails throughout their entire city. It was inspiring. So I think we might pay a little more attention to trails whenever they come up in the coming months with that inspiration we got in the last week, because it is spectacular and it makes traveling throughout the city a lot better. And I think, you know, in the coming years, I'd love to see some significant improvement in our trail system.
Awesome. Okay. There is a motion on the floor. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. On to our last item of the evening, which is item 5D, request for decision, survey sketch SK26-003, access easement. So that's once again, Samantha, please take it away.
Thank you. The applicant, NHC, is seeking approval for survey sketch 26-003 to establish an access easement in favor of the city at 1001 Iglulik Drive. The access easement was a condition of approval for the development permit 24-008 for the recently constructed forest-stacked row dwellings along the beach in that location. There is a satellite image in the package. A previous survey sketch application was approved for a previous development at that site. However, that approval has expired and NHC is now seeking a new approval to allow them to proceed with the required survey this summer and close off or meet the required conditions of their DP. The easement is required to protect city access to the existing drive aisle around Pump Station 1 that encroaches on Lot 394. The easement was reflected in the approved site plan for the development and is not anticipated to impact the units or the function of the site. The options are to approve or refuse the survey sketch. Staff recommend that committee recommend to council to approve survey sketch 26-003 on plan 768, lot 394, to establish an access easement in favor of the city. Wanamik.
Thank you very much, Samantha. Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Comments, questions? Seeing none, all in favor. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. With that, that is our last item. So looking for a motion to adjourn. Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Comments, questions? All in favor. Councillor Nuttev? In favor. In favor. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, Lisa, for interpreting this evening. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Please be safe. Don't drive drunk. Get your storm chips. And to all those playing Blizzard Roulette, may the odds be ever in your favor. So have a good evening.